Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We open our Bibles once again today to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and return to verse 13, the verse that we were examining on the broadcast yesterday and where we shall continue today. It is a very well-known text. It has been quoted to and recited by nearly everyone who has been a Christian for any length of time. We are reminded of what it says, but we tend to forget what it says and what it means. And what text am I talking about? It is the one in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." This follows the recitation of many of the failures of Old Testament Israel, who in spite of their privileges, in spite of the miracles that God performed on their behalf, in spite of the Word of God that was given to them in a way that it was not given to others, in spite of the promises which they had made to Abraham and other promises that had been given to them and passed along to them, in spite of all of these wonderful benefits which they enjoyed, nevertheless, in many cases, fell into sinful temptation and departed in their hearts from their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Still going through the outward ritual in most cases, very few of them abandoned their outward religion, but many of them abandoned their trust in God. And that's the problem. And one of the reasons why that happens is because of testings and temptations that come at us and cause us to think that this is unique. Nobody's ever been tested like this before. If you could only understand what I'm facing. I'm facing things that you have never faced. I'm facing things that nobody else has ever faced. Therefore, don't you be critical of me. Don't you judge me. Don't you preach to me. Don't you tell me that I don't have a reason for going the other direction and for doubting God and for dropping out of church and for all of the various things that I do. Don't you tell me that. Well, you need to be told that, and you need to be reminded of what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." That's a warning you better listen to. And verse 13 will help you work through the deception that you are under right now, the deception and the delusion that will cause you to fall. Don't let that happen. So we'll look at it in just a moment, but thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, January 5. Many thanks for your financial gifts that keep us teaching God's Word on the station. Remember God's promises. And there are some things that we are told about the promises of God in verse 13, and then there are some clear implications that attend what is spelled out. So first of all, what is spelled out? Number one, all trials are common trials. Yours is not unique. If you think so, you're mistaken. If you insist on that, you have been deceived. That's the way you feel. That's what you experience. That's what you want to think. But that's not true. no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. That is to mankind. It's common to the human condition. It's common to other Christians. It's common to people everywhere. Which is not to say that every trial is experienced by every person, but it is to say that there are many people who have experienced a trial just like yours. It's not unique. You're not the only one. You aren't experiencing something that nobody else has ever faced before, nobody else has ever overcome before, and therefore nobody should be critical or surprised if you fall away from God and the Bible and church because of this trial, because after all, your trial, your suffering is worse than anybody else's. Wrong. God's word says that is wrong. If we say something opposite what the Bible says, which is right, which is true? What we think, what we say, or what the Bible declares? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. All trials are common trials. Yours is not unique. What else does this tell us about trials? It tells us, number two, that all trials are limited. All of them are limited. That is, all of them are less severe than they could be. They are not allowed to be overcoming trials. They are all limited. That's what the text says. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. All trials are limited. God declares, God ensures, God superintends every trial in my life and your life to keep it contained within its bounds. It is always limited. It will never, never, never be beyond that which you are able to bear. Now, you think your trial is unique, and it's not. You think your trial is unbearable, and it's not. It seems that way to you, but it's not. Again, correct your thinking by the declaration of Scripture. It's a matter of thinking correctly and acting according to truth, not according to feeling. Our human condition causes us to be very inclined to live by our feelings, not by our knowledge. But the Christian life is a life of knowledge. We are given understanding, spiritual understanding, understanding of God, understanding of God's word, understanding of God's promises. That is given to us along with our new birth, the Spirit of God that opens our minds to understand our sin and to understand our need of Christ and to understand that Christ is the Savior who will save us from our sins and to cause us to go to Christ and to trust in Christ. That same Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God is not understood by those who don't have the Spirit of God. But if you're a Christian, that's what you say. I assume it is true. I can't see your heart. Only God can. But if you are a Christian, then you have the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God. And you need to act according to knowledge, not according to feeling. You need to act according to truth, not according to the way you feel, which is very often the opposite of truth. It is very often a deceptive feeling. The Bible tells us, and the Bible again is the truth that informs us of these things. The Bible tells us that the human heart is deceitful above all things. That means exceedingly deceitful, more deceitful than anything else. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know the full deceptiveness of our own hearts. We can't even know the full sinfulness of our own hearts. And that's not just speaking of unbelievers, that's still true of believers. Thank God believers are on the way to having a heart that no longer deceives, but we're not there yet. We're not in heaven yet, so we still have this Adamic nature that tends to deceive us, and it will if we follow our feelings instead of our understanding. It's a matter of following what you know to be true, not what you feel to be true. Which, of course, is just the opposite of what we're told in the world. How many times have I heard something on some program or another dealing with some difficult issue, and we hear this mantra regularly. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart and you'll be all right. I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you what's right and wrong, but you must follow your heart. And your heart, if you'll follow your heart will lead you in the right direction and will lead you to the right place. Very bad advice. If the Bible is true, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Following your heart sounds like a recipe for disaster, not for help. But you see, that's the best the world can come up with because they don't have anything any better, because the world, for the most part, doesn't have the truth of the Bible. They might have a little bit of it, but they don't have much of it, and they don't value it, and they don't study it, and they don't apply it to their lives. They haven't been born again by the Spirit of God and don't have that spiritual understanding and that spiritual inclination. So the best they can come up with is just follow your heart with this blind faith that somehow there's an innate goodness in all of us that if we'll just listen to what's within us, we will come out okay, when the Bible says just the opposite. Don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to that inner voice. Listen to the Word of God. What you need to listen to is objective truth that is outside of yourself, not subjective feelings and ideas that are within yourself. Now, thankfully, in the passing of time, our heart becomes more knowledgeable, gains greater understanding. The Bible tells us that there is a renewing of the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be conformed to this world is to follow your feelings, follow your heart, follow the crowd, follow what your friends say, follow whatever is the prevailing advice of the world, which is changing all the time from decade to decade and generation to generation. But the Christian understands, no, that's not it. Follow truth. Let your mind be renewed. Don't let your heart dictate what you believe to be true. Let what God's Word tells you is true to inform your heart, to inform your mind, so that you do what is right according to God's Word. That's what you need. That is what you need. And therefore, you need to believe and understand and act upon this precept that trials are limited. They are not beyond being conquered. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.